time I take a ride, I feel alive with nowhere to go. I'm the king of the road, you're the queen of my throne. Riding high day and night, satisfied wherever we roam. You're the star of the show, you shimmer like gold. Now baby, let's ride, we got nothing but time. You get all the reaction, you're the main attraction. It's no surprise, gotta like your style. You're the perfect distraction, you're the main attraction.
From Studio 41, just west of Nepean, welcome to Season 8, Episode 8 of the Sense Columns for Sunday, December 29th, 2019. I'm Cardinal, Penn and Canucker here as well. The Senators have been keeping their games entertaining since we were last here with an overtime win, a shootout loss, a win, and an overtime loss. This is not exactly the perfect tank plan, but it's definitely fun to watch, even if some of the games are bingo duds. Good nice. Christmas.
Yeah, you look very relaxed. You got the Riviera Maya Mexico t-shirt, and
I seem a little more relaxed than normal.
Yeah, you're in vacation mode, it looks like.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, well, you head out tomorrow.
No, I head out Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay. I have one more. I'm depending on the weather, local reference, I have things to do tomorrow, and then I work on Wednesday early, and then I head up to the cottage after that. And I am looking forward to it, yes. There may not be enough snow to use the snow machines while we're up there, but that's okay. We'll fish. We'll relax.
Is it frozen over?
Oh, yeah. The hut's already out on the ice for fishing.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the ice, the four-wheeler's been on it since before Christmas.
Okay.
No problem.
A belated Merry Christmas to everyone.
Yes. Did you have a good one?
I did.
I had an excellent one, yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah, you've been off for a couple weeks now. So.
I know. I'm going into my third week now off. Oh,
luxury!
Nice. Doing strange things like buying paint on Christmas Eve and painting on Boxing Day and that kind of stuff.
Okay. I'm sure there's a story behind that.
No, I just no, have all this.
I have time.
I have time and you know that's on my to-do list. That I wanted to do.
And buying paint on Christmas Eve means you're avoiding the crowds and the other stores who are buying things frantically because paint is not really a.
Surprisingly, there wasn't a lineup there.
Yeah, who'd have thunk that? No, I am fairly relaxed. I'm in a lot of discomfort after taking a bit of a spill on Monday, but it's slowly starting to get everything realigned to where it should be.
You had another spill here tonight before we hit start.
Yeah, I recovered from it. Yeah, slight loss of beer, unfortunately. Good thing
the selfie sticker survived it, though.
Indeed. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by a variety of Unibrew products. We have FMI, which is a cranberry fruit-flavored wheat ale.
It's pretty good.
It is, actually. It's quite tasty. And Canuck is enjoying the Fin du Monde.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Well done.
That's a good New Year's beer, actually.
It is, isn't it?
It's the end of the world. I'll have a New Year's scotch. I'm sure I'll have some beer, but... anything else you want to talk about before we begin? I got two quick. I mean, there's housekeeping, but anything else?
I'm hoping you have the important housekeeping one.
Oh, yes, I do. Okay. Yes, I do. podcast at sensecolumns.com is the email address. We have one, which just came in, which will a couple hours ago, which we'll be able to read. The forums are at sensecolumns.com, including the game threads and Sens Bingo. Congratulations to Sens Cat. She got a bingo since we were last year.
Hey.
Does she get a cat?
No, getting a bingo means you don't get a cat. Everybody else gets one. And the waiver wire is 1-844-SCU-SENS. But we actually collectively got a Christmas present just before Christmas. A really big thank you goes out to longtime listener, Kathy, who sent us a very generous donation just before Christmas. Thank you very much. Means we get to stay around for a little while longer. Maybe even refill the beer fridge.
So, yeah, we got to do that.
Thank you very much, Kathy. That was very generous.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, this one won't be as great because I'm still fighting off a cold.
I'm just going to plug my ears.
Okay. Game on!
That was much
better. That was actually pretty good.
The red lights always go on when he does that.
That means it's on, right? It's on? Because the red lights are on?
Christmassy.
So we got four games. I forgot to take notes on this one. We went to this game, Preds at Sens.
Yes, it was a fantastic game.
That was right after we finished recording.
I recall it being a fantastic game, yeah.
Was it 6-5 overtime?
5-4 overtime.
Mm.
Win. So last episode, who did I call out?
White?
Yep. Sens goals, Colin White. Like, hey, it's just a motivation, man. Just, he got a goal in and assist in this game. So Colin White, Nemesnikov, Anisimov, and Brady Tkachuk, Anthony Duclair won it in overtime in the textbook Duclair goal.
Yeah, same as the previous game almost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, because it was a previous game.
And in our recording that we did with Todd right before going to that game, one of the prospects we were kind of bantering about was Erik Brännström. And that was my first time seeing him play live. And oh my goodness, he's got wheels.
Yeah.
He's quick.
He doesn't have the size, though.
Well, Carlson didn't either.
True.
Good point by you.
True.
All right.
So we'll see. Natural goals, Craig Smith, Grimaldi, Johansson, and Roman Josi. Okay, cool. Something happened in this game, too. Was it?
We are having issues today. Wow.
Okay, not so my coaster.
I think Brady was pissing off Josi or something like that in this game, if I recall, which I do not.
Something happened in the game?
Apparently.
Everything was happening.
I don't know who played this one in net either. I don't have that ready.
Couldn't tell you.
It was Hogberg. So
Hogberg, that's right. It was his first win.
Yes, yes. And I really want him to have a win. He's doing well. Next game, Flyers at Sens, 5-4 overtime loss. Overtime being the key in all of these games here. Mm-hmm. So this was a revenge game. I was too sick to go, which sucked. But it was still a really, really fun game because that would have also been glass seats where TV sees you. I almost knocked my beer over there. So glass seats where, like, it's TV can see and everything else like that too. So I wanted to wear my Christmas sweater.
Yeah, the Sens ugly sweater with the lights.
With the lights on. Up. So it is lights up with the goal. So I'm like, oh, TV's going to cash this. But I was way too sick to go.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Anyways, so I thought this was also going to be a revenge game, but it wasn't. Two goals by Ennis. So tennis goals. Boro with his fourth goal of the year. 4 goals, 11 assists, 15 mm-hmm. points. And, of course, Anthony Duclair.
Again.
Flyers goals. Hayes, 2 by Van Riemsdyk. So, Twan Riemsdyk goals, I guess. And Frost. Oh, yeah, that's enough of that. Hogberg went 34 for 38 in number 6.
And he made 2 great saves in overtime.
Yeah, I didn't. Excuse me. He had 2 bad goals against him in the game. And he made up all. Okay, what are you doing?
Wow, that's becoming an issue.
I want a refund on the coaster.
And he made it, excuse me, he made it back in because he was incredible in that overtime. Yeah, a couple of really big saves. Next game, Sabres at Sens. So the game before Christmas, which we've always been told that these are trap games and you're always going to lose them.
Before Christmas? So
the game before break. So, because these are all the trap games that Ottawa was always losing in the past. Like the back end of a back-to-back or the last home game before a road trip and all this stuff.
Okay, gotcha.
So, we've heard that for years in regards to the trap games. 3-1 win. So, I think really all of that is all attitude mentality, I think.
Actually, just as an aside, DJ Smith was commenting about back-to-back games on the pre-game show this afternoon.
Oh, was it? Okay, because they have a back-to-back.
And he says they play better in the second one.
I found that they did. I really found that they have.
Yeah.
They haven't won many of them, but they haven't won many of anything. But
But he, that was one thing you were saying, that we always play better in the second one.
Just shoving it to Boucher.
Well, actually, when Anderson came back finally, didn't he comment that rest was a weapon?
Rest was a weapon. That's why I'm, that's why. He, well, that was that, that was the game he I won think there, wasn't
this
it?
This one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a...
Just
was
an, amazing.
That was a nice little bite me. I liked it.
Yeah. So Sens goal is 2 by Pageau, 1 by Tkachuk. Tkachuk's starting to come around now. Sabres goals by Gergensens.
That'd be a pair by Pageau, right?
Yes. Dujo. This is terrible. And then tonight, Devils at Sens, 5-4 overtime loss.
So oh, first no.
game. So first game back for the Sens. Devils already played. And you could, granted, they didn't score on their own net this time, but it showed that Ottawa wasn't, at the same speed as the Devils were.
It kind of was a good game to lose.
The first, oh yeah, this was a perfect tank game, but it didn't really happen, which is fine.
Well, they only took 1 point out of a possible 2.
That's right.
So they're 1 point closer.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining. Nobody left there going, this game was bad.
Yeah, the first half wasn't very...
There's some dead spots, but it had its moments.
Yeah. It's not like the other games that we saw. But anyway, Sens goals, Paul and Anisimov and Shabbat finally got one.
And that late Shabbat goal to tie the game, that actually was his 4th goal, so he's now tied with...
Boro. That's great.
He's also tied with Erik Karlsson. 4 goals.
Well, there you go. He's got to play catch up.
No, Erik only got his 4th today, earlier in the day today.
Oh, he got one today?
Yeah.
Did they win again?
I don't know. I just heard it mentioned that he got a goal earlier today. So he's now tied with Boro.
Because he's heating up. Hmm. That's not good.
The rest of the team isn't. He can't carry
it. No, it's all his fault anyways. It's his fault that the rest of the team was laughing while he was talking to the media. That must have been yesterday, then.
That was yesterday.
Oh, you didn't hear about that one?
Clearly not.
I think it was
Friday. Lost badly against the Kings.
Okay.
It was an embarrassing game.
I believe it was Friday, that game.
Okay.
Yeah. And so Karlsson was talking to the media outside of the dressing room.
Post game.
Okay.
Had an okay speech, to be honest. He was rambling on, but that's just what he does. Just all about accountability. When he went back into the room, of course, the door opens up, and the reporters just heard a bunch of players just laughing.
How dare
they? And they reported that.
How dare they?
As to how broken the team is, because they're laughing and not taking it seriously.
Okay, that's a serious error in judgment on behalf of the reporter.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe so. There's a really good joke they just told.
Yeah.
Lighten the mood. We just lost. It's all a joke.
Yeah.
Yep. So, of course, it's Carlson's fault that they have no money for Pavelski, and Pavelski would have controlled that room.
Well, it's the GM's fault. But
there's a lot of... it's the GM's fault. He just... It's not Carlson's fault. They said, here's $88 million. And he said, okay.
Mm-hmm. And you knew you're going to have to pay him that. And he's also 5 years younger than Pavelski and 7 years younger than Burns. So, which is really the bad contract?
Well, I can't believe Burns. Burns is going on a long. Yeah, that contract is insane.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's.
Can't believe Logan Couture is 30 too. That freaked me out because
he's 32, and you're telling me that Logan Couture isn't a good enough captain.
He's an excellent captain. I just can't believe he's 30 because I can remember him as a rookie for the 67. So that's 14 years ago. I can remember a lot of other players playing for the 67, but still.
Yeah.
The farthest back I can go with remembering players named players in the OHL, I remember watching Eric Lindros play.
Well, it's going to be the 2020 here in a couple days.
That was a big thing,
though. Yeah.
So now all those 80s nostalgia references are 40 years ago.
Well, almost. It could be up to 40 years
ago. Up to 40, yep.
Thanks for that. Thanks.
Crazy.
Sorry, I interrupted your game summaries. That was very...
No, that's the end of
that. That was the last one. Right.
So.
Yeah, it's way too many points.
Way too many points.
Sabrin's back.
Playing. Well, when you figure, they got at least 1 point in all 4 of those games.
Yeah, that's tactical error.
Well,
Florian's got to start making moves, man.
Actually, I wrote this down because TSN put this up, up on their broadcast, and it was an interesting stat. So at home, playing at home games in the league, since October 27th, the Senators are first place in the league, and the number of points they're getting at home, and the save percentage they're getting at home. First in the league.
Wow.
Now, that's absolutely a stat there. It's kind of like, okay, you had to manufacture so that, but what, so it's what an interesting story.
The problem was there was too many people at the games, so there's too much pressure from the home crowd. And now that that's lowered, it's a lot easier for them to just go out and play.
Is that the Freakonomics stance on that?
Yes. Okay.
You could be right. You never know. That's correlation doesn't imply causation, but I like the thought process behind it. That's not bad.
Boolean logic.
Nice. Very nice. Oh, since you say we're about to change to the next decade, we're also at the halfway point of the season. So, given we only had four games to talk about, and we just finished doing that, and we got to fill at least another half hour worth of content.
Should be a short show.
I was going to ask for commentary on a couple of players and a couple of possible things going on. Why don't we go to TJ's email? Because I haven't even read it yet. Why don't we go to that first? Because that might give us talking points for a couple of
minutes. Why don't you read it?
Okay. Since I happen to have it here. This is from TJ, who sent it earlier today. Thanks, TJ. Subject line is prospects and trades.
Excuse me, jeez.
Have a sip. Happy New Year's. How are the top prospects performing in Belleville? And also talk about the guys like Pinto and Bernard Docker and how they've looked in the juniors. Yes, we have to talk about the World Juniors. I didn't note that down. Would you guys like Ennis and the other players not in their long-range plans to get back in draft picks? What would you like guys like Ennis and the other guys not in their long-range plans to get back in draft picks or prospects? Third question. Would you guys re-sign, JGP and Duclair after the way they've looked over the past month? Other than the two obvious top picks in this June's draft, do you have any idea about any of the other top 10 prospects since it looks like Ottawa is getting two of them? Thanks. I only sent a long list because you asked on the forum. Thanks, TJ. Some very good questions. And actually, one of them was the one I was about to get to. So we'll take you want to talk World Juniors first?
Sure.
Okay.
So Pinto has been one hell of a surprise.
El Fuego.
So he's gotten 7 points now in two games.
Yes. He's surprising everybody.
And I was watching the Canada-US game and the way that he was playing. Like,
and he's on Team USA.
Team USA, that's correct.
And I just ended up tweeting out, it's like, Shane Pinto is doing things that Colin White is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you watch
it. Different stage, but yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So he goes hard to the net, center, lots of deflections and whatnot. And people ended up telling me, well, Colin White was really good in regards to in his World Juniors.
He was.
So I looked up his points. 7 games. 1 year he had 7 games. 7 goals, 1 assist for 8 points. And then the other one he had 7 points.
Okay.
So he did good in his first year.
Shane Pinto has 7 points in 2 games.
Okay. Seven points in an entire tournament is not bad, though. Not bad at all.
No, but also with that, you're telling me that Colin White's better?
Were they saying better, or were they saying he played in a similar fashion?
Well, pretty much, it's like I'm counting my chickens before they hatch, which is true.
Very true.
But this is outperforming Colin White.
Whatever.
On a different stage, yes.
No, on the same stage, different year.
Same stage, different year. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. So, but players do that all the time. Get to the NHL and go,
hey, listen. Nat Domicelli is still one of my favorites.
Lazar.
Curtis Lazar. Well, he didn't have a great World Juniors, to be honest.
He was coattailing McDavid.
Well, he was on a line with McDavid.
He was coattailing McDavid.
Yeah. No, I'm very happy about Shane Pinto, but I mean, it's a very, very different stage.
He's been very surprising.
Yeah.
Bernard Docker has not been outstanding.
The entire defensive core of that team, that team's defensive play has had issues.
Yeah.
Has had issues, period. And I mean, I'm including the forwards getting back to play defense. Never mind the two guys on the blue line. So,
that's okay because the Hunters are good.
I haven't had an opportunity to watch
the... That's great eye roll.
Ooh. Haven't had a chance to watch the World Junior game yet. Games yet. I know there's one tomorrow morning against Germany, which I'm sure will be not as entertaining as come, but...
But well, they need to show up.
I was
so they should have a hot start.
Why do they need to show up?
They're 1-1 now, so
they got first round by Russell. I was working for Russell yesterday, so I was in the workshop while we were listening to that game.
It was bad. Oh,
You think two guys? You think watching a game on TV is bad with people yelling at the TV? Well, try putting two hockey guys in a room with the game on the radio while you're trying to do something else. We were just screaming at the radio. It was like, with missed calls or what are they doing and blah, blah, blah. I mean, if I'd been an outsider, I think it would have been quite entertaining.
And that's weird because with radio, you're just relying solely on the narrative coming over it. Like you don't have a visual to scream at, like, how did you miss this? You're basically echoing what the announcer's saying.
For the really good play-by-play on the radio. I don't think the refs were really that bad for the parts that I watched. And the game was over by the time that I turned it off.
No, it was just the players.
Oh, yeah. And just the goaltender, too.
Good to lose a game or two, though, early on.
You got three in a game. I agree.
It's good to learn.
Losing the round robin instead of the medals.
Right.
But the goaltender had three goals against him. And then he ended up tripping a guy and took a penalty for it.
Yeah, that was
it. And I'm like, your mindset's out of the game now. And they brought him back for the second.
And then pulled him out after the next goal.
Yeah, stupidity.
Hunters.
Yeah. When was the last time that they won the Memorial Cup?
London?
That was Mark Methot's year?
No, I think they've done it more recently.
Because I've heard that they're amazing.
They have they're very good at developing players. London produces a great number of NHL/AHL ready players. They're very good at taking them from a raw CHL/OHL level and moving them along. You don't need to look any further than Alex Formanton. Mm-hmm. He was when they sent him back to London and then brought him to Belleville the next year. His development was substantial over that year. Because he became a much more complete player. They're very good at that. They are. And they have an incredibly rabid fan base. Like, you want to go to a fun location for an OHL game? Go to London.
It's not a fun drive to get there, but
it's a bit of 6 hours.
Yeah.
But I mean, they'll pack the gardens. There'll be 9,000 people there.
Yeah.
Pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah. Is what else you can do in London?
Yeah, it's not. I've visited London a number of times.
By insurance?
It's a little too quiet for me.
Yeah, the London life.
It's pretty quiet, but
it's a suburb.
Yeah,
it's a suburb. Anyways, Lassie Thompson's been apparently doing better.
Over in Europe,
doing quite well. So
good. And how is future Sen Lafreniere doing?
Yeah, he got hurt, right?
Oh, he wrapped his knee around the goalpost.
Yeah.
Ouch.
We'll see.
Ouch, indeed. Ouch,
well, now indeed. That he's broken, we're totally going to get him.
Well, you see, that's my question. If he falls in the... I mean, if we don't get first or second overall and he falls...
I don't think he's going to fall, though.
Well,
you also have the combine.
Heaven forbid, the poor kid gets hurt bad and needs surgery and he's out the rest of the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
He might.
He might, exactly.
And Jared Cowan, it's like...
Well,
that's where I was going. Exactly where I was
going.
I don't think
he's going to fall that bad.
It might just
be Byfield first and then him.
Okay, so if Ottawa has second or third overall and he doesn't get picked first overall, you'd take him.
Yes.
Okay. Just asking.
But you'll also have the combine at that point.
To see at least how his recovery is going.
Yep.
I'm just asking the question. Yep. I have no opinion one way or the other.
Well, that's interesting.
And apparently it's not as bad as they thought.
Well, that's good because it wasn't pretty to begin with, that's for certain.
The Canadian captain, forget his name right now, during the Russian national anthem was the only person who did not take his helmet off.
And he apologized for that.
He apologized for it, but he also said that he was distracted and whatnot and meant no disrespect.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, it's like, he's a kid. I'm like, he's 19, he's played international. They play the anthem at the start of each game.
End.
At the end.
No. In this tournament, it's at the end of the game, but in hockey, normally...
Why not?
They play it at the start of the game.
Yes.
So I don't buy that he was distracted. I would, and even though he's a kid, that I would give to a 7-year-old, not a 19-year-old. And of course, the whole whataboutism of, well, Russia left for the left skating off the ice during the Canadian one a couple of years ago. It's like, well, that's them. You're representing Canada. And everybody else took their helmets off. I don't buy the excuse, but...
But you apologized?
Yeah, not great, but...
Well, whatever.
Yeah. So...
Next question.
Don't be surprised if Russia doesn't... If they play again and Canada wins and they play the Canadian anthem, Russia's not going to...
That's fine.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm sure that the Russians have to be juiced.
It's all the
like they're in trouble again with the Olympic Committee, right?
Yes, they've been suspended another 4 years from the World Athletic Association.
And you just, it's like they're just that much stronger. It's just a little bit, but I'm like, that's exactly what the performance enhancing drugs does.
Yeah,
we'll see. That's allegedly.
Allegedly. Don't Next question from TJ.
About the Stars in Belleville or the prospects in Belleville?
I don't. Prospects in Belleville?
Yeah. Didn't he ask how they were doing?
Oh, yeah, that's a little bit down the road, I think.
Sorry.
What were you guys like for Ennis and the other players not in long? Okay.
As much as you can give?
I was going to say, as much as you can
Your get, first I, round pick.
So,
I would like a first round pick not this year.
Oh. No. No, apparently 2021's not great.
No, 2021. You take
another one because it's like a it's like a second.
Unparalleled success next year, boys.
I would like to, if we
you get. You want to space out the players?
I want to space them out. So we don't get one next year? Fine. The draft is weak. Get one the year after that. I just don't want them all coming up at once.
We only have 5 years of unparalleled success.
So here's the other thing, too. If we get one or two top five picks, they're making the team next year. If you take Askarov, he's not going to be here for at least three.
Okay.
The goalie.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going 15 onwards, they're not playing next year.
No.
So they'll already be staggered out.
At least a little bit, but I wouldn't mind staggering it a bit more. Unless you pick a bunch of them this year and then trade them off.
15 to 31, right? 15 to 31.
Unless you trade them off for something for later on afterwards.
But then you have 3 second-round picks that you can get an actual NHL player for.
Mm-hmm. Stockpile them for later on. Like if you have extra draft picks in the in another draft, you can always use them to...
I'd actually move forward.
Blah, 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 in a second-round pick.
Get existing prospects.
Jeez Louise. Either way.
This is bad.
You are bad.
Let's go through some of the UFAs and whatnot.
Yeah. Do you want to pull up Cap Friendly?
Yeah, I've got that.
Okay.
So first off, Granny's not a UFA next year, but Anisimov, he's got 7 goals now, I think.
Sign him.
Well, he's already signed for next year.
He's signed for next year, yeah.
So he's a place filler for next year. That's fine.
I'm fine with keeping him,
and
too.
And Zach Smith won't have 7 goals. For the minority of people that are complaining about this trade, it's like...
Shut up.
He's cheaper, which is the number one thing about him, and two... You can possibly trade him. And if you can't trade him this year, you might be able to trade him next year. And he's actually producing on the team. Not that the team's great. Bodker.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. You're not even going to get a waiver claim on him. They're not playing him.
No, they're not playing. But he is an active player right now. They're just not playing him, right? He's a healthy scratch all the time.
All the time.
That's what I thought.
Which is weird. I don't know why they can't put him in. Next up, Nemestnikov. So he is 27.
Whatever. 27. I mean, I don't want to sign him to a long year deal.
I'd probably give him a year or so.
I was going to say, give him a year or two. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, if you sign him for 2 years and he has a good year next year, then he becomes something that's possible to trade off for somebody who would want him for a longer period.
And he seems to like to live here because it's a smaller market. Because he found Manhattan intimidating and can't blame him for that.
Right.
It is a little.
His hometown, 90,000 people.
So his hometown is smaller than Kingston.
Yeah.
Belleville.
You go to Manhattan, it's...
It depends. When you get outside of Ontario, the numbers, I don't know. I grew up in New Brunswick. So, like, my hometown city is 50,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but you say that to someone in Ontario, they're like, oh my gosh, so tiny. I'm like, no, it was really spread out. It was spread out bigger than Kingston, but it was just spread out.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it's small. It's just that for matter of scale is all I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Population of Ontario is concentrated all in one area.
Pajo, we've talked about that today.
Mm-hmm.
Unless anyone
sign
else.
Sign
them. Yep.
Oh, but how are you enjoying the cakes? Do you still have a slice?
Well, I have pie in the fridge.
Oh, yes. Yeah?
Ooh, pie.
Yum.
Floor pie.
Here's an interesting one. Tyler Ennis.
Whatever.
30-year-old.
He's a bit of a whatever for me. He has moments of brilliance, and he doesn't really have... he's not a liability, is the way I look at him. He's not... I don't scream all the time going, what are you doing? It's just... And I mean no disrespect, he's a spare part. He's a perfectly adequate, we need you here, so we put you here and you do your job and that's great.
And how great would that be for a playoff team?
Right.
He'd be very handy. He's
very handy.
He plays shifty. On PP2. He plays shorthanded.
And he's shifty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he may be something that somebody might want.
I think his value, I'm thinking we might get a conditional second or third round pick for him.
Fine.
Which is probably high, but
Pittsburgh first.
It is what it is. Scott Tabouret, yeah, good luck.
They may re-sign him. They may not. I'm kind of fine either
give
way.
Give him a two-year or a two-way or something.
Give him a two-way.
Who cares?
Something like that. Same as this year.
Who cares? Or just another 750 or it really doesn't matter. Ron Hainsey.
Bye.
Bye. God.
See ya.
Just hopefully they didn't break him because they were like, we're going to play him 26 minutes. He'll be fine. And now he's hurt. So I don't know if he's. No, I don't think he's playing tomorrow either.
I don't think so.
So
they tried to Phillips him.
Exactly. Exactly. Mark Borowiecki.
I'd keep him.
Oh, yeah, I'd keep him.
I actually would sign him.
He does what he does.
I'd sign him for another couple of years because does no harm. Like, he's not a liability.
Amazingly.
He's a player who is... This team needs a couple of... names to stick around.
Right.
They need some name recognition with the revolving door of number of players in and out in the past couple of years, especially this year. There's a lot of players, Tyler Ennis being a classic. Who?
Yeah.
Who?
No, I'm so still going through that.
I would like to keep Boro around because I think he's an asset in many ways and he's not a detriment. He's not a liability.
And as long as he'd be okay in taking a seventh defenseman role in a year or two.
And he would be.
And he could always double as security at the arena if they need more.
Yeah.
Especially if someone's going off on a bike.
And I don't know if we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Did you see their Christmas video?
No, I keep meaning to watch it. I haven't seen it. I haven't
seen it. Got him to reenact that scene. It was amazing.
Was that part of the yeah. Okay. I have to go and see that.
So good.
On their website. I did go and look at it and I got distracted for something.
So I would also keep him for similar reasons, but mostly because I don't think you would get anything more than a six-round pick for him.
No, I don't think you get much.
So the value of Borowiecki versus a six-round pick.
Keep him.
It's better to keep him. and then, of course, Greg Anderson.
You forgot Cody Golubev.
Oh, yes, of course.
Who?
How could I forget Cody Golubev?
Who?
He's adequate.
I'm surprised how well he's playing.
He's the perfect seventh defenseman or depth defenseman for a team that's wanting to make a playoff run. That's where his asset lies, in that he's not a defensive liability. He's cheap, so he'll fit under. He'll go to a team which doesn't have a lot of cap space. He can eat minutes, or he can not play. He didn't play for the first 15 games of the season.
Yeah.
No problem. As soon as he was in the lineup, he was fine. Like, if he's only playing occasionally, he's not a liability. That's an asset. That's what teams who are looking for a guy, we're looking for a spare guy. Like, Lawrence Nicolat from the Cup.
Oh, my God.
And I just pulled that one out of the ether. I have not written it down anywhere.
I forgot that he was a senator.
But that's the guy, right? Around if you need him. That's where Cody Golubev, I think, could be an asset. I mean, will you get a lot for him? No, but I think you will
might get a waiver claim.
I think you might get something for him. Craig Anderson?
Craig Anderson, no. Hogberg's been extremely, very, very impressive.
I like at the Hogberg. NHL level. Just because I like his name, Hogberg.
And Gus is in six. He's not doing well. But Decord is.
And what's the Death Goalie 2 coming up?
We've got Sogard.
Sogard. That's a great Sogard, goalie name.
So great. So Sogard.
Where's he? Is he over
here? He's still in, yeah.
Okay, he's in Europe. Gustafsson's in Belgium.
No, sorry. Sogard's in CHL, isn't he?
I don't
Sound know. Tigers. Or not Sound Tigers. That's an NHL team. It's a Western team.
Oh. Medicine Hat.
Yes. Medicine Hat. Okay. Tigers.
Where am I pulling this stuff out?
Well, I said Tigers. You remember it.
Lawrence Nicolet. That's my one for the day.
Freaking.
And we also have Kevin Mandalisi. Forgot about him. He's in Cape Breton or something like that.
So we have goalies all over the place.
Yeah. So, and I hope that Anderson just goes and wins.
Goes to Florida.
And the Panthers are going with Bobrovsky, who's struggling, and Chris Drieger.
That would be a perfect trade.
That was trippy when they were down there. I was like, Chris Drieger is the backup goalie for the Florida Panthers.
I got it.
What?
I got it.
Where'd that come from? Huh?
Trade Anderson to the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, Mike Hoffman.
No. And we get something good back in return. He goes down there and they face the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round. Anderson stops him.
Anderson versus Anderson.
Yes.
I could totally get behind that.
Sun versus Sen. Yep. By which time, Frederick Anderson will be completely burned out because Toronto has no depth at goalie and they've played him 65
games. It'll be Craig Anderson's swan song to go down on behalf of Sens Nation and put a dent in the armor of...
and in your left hand, clearly.
In the armor of the Leaf Nation.
Ooh, that would be good.
That'd be fun.
I could totally get behind that.
I wouldn't mind that.
That'd make those games more watchable.
More in Ottawa than there would be in Florida.
Yeah, they would. Okay.
I'm not done. Ryan Callahan, what do you do with him?
Who? We re-sign him.
What?
What about Clark MacArthur?
Yeah, we have to re-sign him too.
Oh.
Gabrick's around for another year.
We forgot Dylan DeMello. Sign him.
Sign him.
4 years. 4 years. I don't care.
No, I want him to be signed.
Someone's going to direct those movies.
True enough. Right on. Good question.
Yeah, you got to hold on to Clark MacArthur though.
I would love to see him in some sort of team role.
He is.
What's he? I thought
or
he was.
He does a part-time conditioning and skills or whatever it was. He was up for training camp.
Good for him. And I say that in all seriousness. Like, good for him.
Yeah. He gives him something to do.
And he's such a likable guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a genuinely likable guy. Yeah. So.
Who knows if he might be scouting in Florida or something like that for him?
Okay.
I think he's living down in Florida. He's in the U.S. for sure.
Fair enough.
This isn't a UFA or RFA, but Thomas Chabot. Yeah. I had a comment on him. As
sign him.
Oh, absolutely.
Sign him again.
Sign him again? Again? So we're going to put him on another 8-year deal. You got to hit the floor somehow.
I love his game. I'm big proponent of him, and I'm not alone. One thing when I'm watching him, and it's probably because he plays too many minutes.
Yeah.
I want to see this team get competitive for him or get a player in there. It can be a coach to be competitive around him because he's so talented. He's got the skill, but he needs to be pushed. And it's the only kind of push he can be like on a competitive team. Like he needs that. I could see it. It just feels like he's not giving it all. And why should he? Because
he can't right now.
He was struggling. He was struggling tonight. The coach cut his ice time. Yeah. He was only at 28 and a half.
He went off the ice for a bit too, to the room.
So but if he starts getting some playoff experience,
I just clicked in on that.
I just throw them out there.
I just feel like he's the kind of player. Like if Carlson was still around, I could push him, and it was in the right scenario to do that. You could just see him taking off.
Or if he and Brännström were playing together because Zaitsev was playing with somebody else, and you know there was a third pairing that was adequate, so that they weren't putting him out that much. He could make better use of the minutes he has rather than going, okay, I can't go at 100% all the time
because
I'm playing
rover,
35 right. minutes.
Exactly. Right.
And this is where I think we might see a turnaround when the guys start coming back. Of now I'm down to 24. So now I can explode out. I can do the rush myself.
Well,
and watch him do that stuff again.
Zaitsev and Wolanin. When we get both of them back, it may make things look a little different.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
I don't just mean...
Yeah, but I think Wolanin's left side, but.
Well, I mean, however
but,
you juggle
but yeah,
them
that
out.
Could eat up some of his minutes. He needs a method like player. Could be DeMello.
Yeah.
DeMelo doesn't hit as much. You don't notice him, but not noticing him is great.
But he's effective. That's all I care. That's all I care. Are you effective? Yes. Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Just get it up to him. Like, just the Niedermeyer, the guy that you hate, the one after Dig. What's his name?
Pronger.
No, Pronger, not Grant. Chris Pronger.
Oh.
So Scott Niebert and Niedermeyer and Pronger. If you can get a pair like that.
Oh. You mean a Phillips and Volchenkov?
No, because they were both shut down. Niedermeyer was offensive.
Well, they do say defense wins championships, right?
It does.
Yeah.
Is that your note?
Offense wins.
That was your note.
Yeah. Offense wins games. Defense wins championships. It was Troy Polamalu. Mm-hmm. Now, many people have said that, but he actually said it in an interview that I was listening to.
He was the first one that did it?
No. He just said it, and I thought, ooh, that's good. So I quoted it to him. Do you have any idea who Troy Polamalu is?
Yep.
Football coach?
Yep.
I have no idea.
Player. Steelers. Player. He had long hair. Yeah. He was.
Oh, yes, yes.
Linebacker.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's about all we got from TJ's list.
And anyone else to look at? Of course, Askarov, even though I don't think he's played well in the World Juniors. I don't care.
I haven't been watching the prospect list. I couldn't tell you about any of them.
Marco Rossi.
Well, Marco Rossi here in Ottawa? Yes.
Yeah.
He's now at 56 points. Insane. He's had one game this season without a point. Huh. One. It's just in. It's kind of good. What do you think of Kevin Ball?
I've loved Kevin Ball for a long time.
Pity he's gone to New Jersey.
Yeah.
He's a defenseman for the Ottawa 67s who's playing for the World Juniors.
6'7", 240 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, 6'7", 240. 20? He's 19.
Oh, he's 19. That's right, because he could be. It's an under 20.
You could still trade for him.
No, New Jersey's not going to let that go.
I don't think Jersey's going to let that go.
He was a key to that Taylor Hall deal.
Yeah.
Taylor Hall.
Well, Taylor Hall.
Yeah. Tyler, say again. Yeah, Taylor Britton. Yeah, I know where you're going.
Taylor Swift, what?
Yeah. Quick, nice. I just had because it's the halfway point of the season, roughly, quick thoughts on a couple of players. Or just, here's a category, fill in the names. Your biggest surprise so far this season?
Duclair.
Okay, I figured that one was going to be after Duclair. I have two written down.
Are you thinking positive surprise or do you have another?
No, this is biggest surprise. Biggest concern is the next category. So this is the positive side of things.
Colin White in a negative way.
Okay, well, that one's coming next. So hold that thought. Right. But any other big surprise? I had one.
I want to say Hogberg?
I was going to say Connor Brown.
No, I'm not surprised by him at all. I knew exactly this was exactly what he was going to do.
I knew he had ability. I didn't know how good he was. Yeah, I honestly didn't know how good he was. And I was like, ooh, that was a...
How about...
Yeah, no, I totally saw this coming.
DJ Smith. It's been okay.
I think he's done very well with what he has, and I like what he's doing with what he has. Mm-hmm. He's not... Well, we all got frustrated with the...
We're probably going to lose this game, and this is why.
No, I got frustrated with Guy Boucher because he kept doing the same thing, expecting a different result. That's my biggest frustration with him. Because that's the definition of insanity. That's the classic definition of insanity. It's like you won't change.
If it frustrates us, how do you think the players feel?
Well, there's that, and that's why I find DJ Smith. He's also quite a good interview. He's a different sort of interview. Like Guy Boucher was a great interview. A very engaging, very could break down complex hockey thoughts into words that the average non-hockey person, like non-working in the industry, would understand.
Right.
And I really like, I think he would be I think Guy Boucher would be excellent on television.
He is on television.
Yeah. He's doing color?
He's on French.
TVA.
On TVA? Really?
Yeah.
For Habs games? Or is that?
I think so.
Primarily.
I was going to say, do they have the local contract in French? The TVA Sport?
I think so.
I think? Okay. Yeah. He would be excellent. I would actually be willing to tune into that if I had TVA Sport. Yeah, I've watched
a couple clips of it. It's good.
I think you'd be quite good.
Because he whiteboard stuff and everything.
It's, yeah. I think it'd be good. Tremendous. So I am very happy with DJ Smith. Yep. I like the way he does. He is a good interview. But
DJ
I also
Smith
like
puts on a good show.
Yeah. Okay, so your biggest concerns?
Colin White. Brännström.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Early on,
he is not as advertised.
I think he's starting to come around when he's being able to be put into his right situation
side,
that was better.
Right side.
When he's put into the side that he's more comfortable in, I think
nothing
it's
going to do about his time in the AHL. It's right side.
Well, he's being put in a better position to succeed.
Yes.
That makes
They're going to say sense. That it's about his time in the AHL. I'm like, no, he's on the right side. You put him back on the left, it's going to be the same problems.
So I'm happy about that. My biggest concern other than those two, Thomas Chabot's ice time.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my a big concern.
Just don't break him.
Yeah. Don't.
You already broke one elite.
Don't wear him out. Don't wear him out. I mean, yeah, is he good? Is he filling the minutes? Yes, he is. Don't depend on it. Don't
lose. Depend on it. Yeah. This year doesn't matter.
It's not worth risking an injury from someone who's overtired and overworked.
Yep.
That's my big concern. All right. Boro, 3-year contract. We already talked about that. JGV, we already talked about that. We already did his email. Okay.
Those are the two questions, yeah?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. A couple of quick things. Actually.
Some Alfie news?
Some Alfie. Okay, let's go with that.
Well, I just know that he was abducted from North America over to Sweden and inducted into the Sweden
he was abducted.
Hockey Hall of Fame.
That's so very cool.
There's actually the ceremony of him coming out at the, well, it's not the induction ceremony, but it's him being recognized at the hockey game is on Twitter. I think we retweeted it. I know I did. You can actually watch him come out.
I'll have to go looking for that.
So hopefully soon into the NHL Hall of Fame would be great.
Time. Yeah, well, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the NHL Hall of Fame doing anything at the right period of time after Pat Burns.
But if you need some Alfie Lub, look that up on Twitter. You can see him come out and be recognized before the game in Sweden.
Excellent.
Wow. Sens are 9-1-2 in the past 12 home games.
There you go.
What the hell?
Yeah.
I
got some other thoughts and random topics.
Well, I had a couple of quick ones for around... actually, none of these are all that interesting. I got one. Chicago has placed Brent Seabrook and Calvin DeHaan on long-term injury reserve for the rest of the season because they're out after having
tank,
surgery.
Tank.
We could trade for them.
Well,
we could trade for Seabrook.
Hang on. Is that a tank move or is that an anti-tank move?
Yeah.
Because we all, I think, would agree that Brent Seabrook is long past his prime.
Yeah, DeHaan isn't, though.
No. But...
I always wondered how they're going to get out of that.
Well,
and not only that, because once he's recovered well enough from the shoulder surgery, they're going in and they're doing both hips.
On who? Seabrook?
Seabrook.
Oof. So he's out long term.
Robocop.
Wow.
Yeah. I know that he's playing again.
So then he'll be long term.
He's gone for this season and next season.
So he's going to become an Ottawa
I'm
Senator.
I'm assuming next
season. Ottawa will trade for him.
That's where Canuck is going with that.
Yeah.
With what?
Then Sens can trade for him.
Oh, yeah. Because we can get more cap it.
Because we're going to need it. So
how much more time does he have this year?
I don't know.
He has 4 more years.
At
cap it of 6.9. Nice.
That might fit.
That way, they can still say we spend to the cap, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, how many millions are coming off our cap hit this year?
There's a lot.
There's MacArthur. There's Callahan.
That's 11 million. You got Anderson. I don't know how they're going to make up the ground for it.
They'll find
you. You really have to go in dumpster dive. Yeah. Actually, I think they can make it because Shabbat's contract kicks in, but it's real low.
It's also a combination of, you need some relief. We could honestly take on a bad contract. Oh,
we haven't done it historically.
We could.
We could have done better at it.
We could do it depending on what comes with it. Oh, so you want that? Cool. We'll take your blah, blah, blah. Or we'll take a top prospect or we'll take a...
Remember Bobby Ryan?
I totally forgot about him, eh?
Yeah.
Apparently he's back in town. Hopefully he's doing well.
Is he? I hope he is.
Yeah. He's back in town skating.
Good for him.
So I don't think he's coming back to this team.
Well,
but as long if as they can,
if,
out,
if okay. he doesn't come back to this team and he can find somewhere else to go and play, I'm ecstatic for him.
Yeah.
Because that would be good for him, and that's what I really care about.
Yeah, the Flyers will take him in a heartbeat.
Can they fit him?
Not under this contract, but after the buyout, yeah.
Oh, true.
I'm sure he's going to PTO there.
Well, we'll have to see. I didn't have anything else interesting to talk about since we've had other interesting things come up, except other than Ovi skipping the All-Star game again. So that means he has to get a one-game suspension, doesn't he? Okay. I thought so.
Sydney's done that, hasn't he?
You had some stuff you wanted to talk about?
Tank thoughts, because we just watched the New Jersey-Ottawa game, which was a tank game. And we noticed that Detroit is just
They're so bad.
They're awfully good at tanking.
And it made me think.
Well, the Devils scored on themselves the other day.
It was so great. So thoughts on the tank. It's pretty clear what they're doing. And, you know, we get it. We're thinking about it here in Ottawa. You know, you want to get as low as you can in the standings for your best odds at the lottery. Mm-hmm. But some thoughts on that. You have to play it carefully, though, because you don't want to be so bad and so demoralized that the following year that you just can't get out of that rut, right? You need to kind of play it. I think actually Ottawa is doing something kind of smart here in that they're you feel like there's some momentum, but you're still in the bottom of the standings, but you feel like there's not much more to get us into that kind of almost making the playoff talk. Like, you know, you could see that being a season away, like almost like fighting for a spot.
Could be
not
a
the season,
team.
But
there's still a lot of positivity coming out of
right.
this
year. And I think they're tanking right.
And versus last year, which was hell.
And they showed up last. That's what you want if you're tanking, and they didn't get the lottery pick. So it's a reminder of the
yeah.
Thank goodness, but how easy that would have been.
Well, the amount of time that I have to run the lotto to or the simulator to get it, like the odds aren't great.
No.
Right.
However,
we have two picks to try and get a good pick.
Correct. So right now, Detroit's odds are 18.5%.
And ours are?
Ours, technically, are 18%.
Factoring in both of them?
Correct.
Yeah, that's not bad then.
Yeah.
It's 18, but with, I mean, that's a number one. We would have...
No, because then it depends who wins
the first one. How many
then
you get
all your odds get restacked.
Exactly. I was trying to. That's a factorial math equation, which I can't do in my head. So,
No. Yeah, she can't do it at all. Oh no, well, there.
Well, don't worry. Batman's has a silly system. He doesn't even put the team names in the hopper. He puts like these strange numbers, and so no one can understand it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
So you can rig it that way.
Oilers got it four times in a row.
I know.
Pittsburgh model.
Pittsburgh model.
It's been a goddamn lottery.
Oilers got it four times in a row. It's not rigged.
No, not at all.
Because no way would they give Oilers four.
All right. Anything else? Anything?
Week to come.
Well, no. I was just wondering if you had any other talking points you wanted to talk about.
No.
Gears to grind talking points.
I actually have. You want to do? Okay. Yeah. Let's just do the what grinds our gears week to come and get out of here.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I actually have one this week. Shall I start?
Go for it.
Backup cameras.
Uh-huh.
They grind your gears when they get covered with slush?
No. Because
people aren't looking
because
anymore?
Backup cameras, some of them have a bit of a peripheral vision, but a lot of them are only looking straight back with maybe 10 degrees off dead center. So people don't shoulder check in parking lots anymore. They just back up. Well, there's nothing behind me, and away they go. And I experienced this in the lead up to Christmas in a parking lot on a number of occasions.
What color were you wearing?
I beg your pardon?
What color were you wearing?
I'm driving a silver car with my lights on.
No, he didn't get hit.
No, my mother did.
Oh.
And they drive a green car. She had backed out of a parking spot.
Green means go.
She had backed out of a parking spot, sort of, you know, so you're perpendicular to the parked cars, parallel to the lane of traffic, and was just shifting into drive to go away when a car to her left backed right into her.
Did the police come?
No.
Be good.
Because
at that age, it's like you got to go for your test again.
They do a test every year.
Okay.
My parents do a driver's test every year. My parents are 84 and 86.
Yeah.
So they have to pass one every year, and they do. But they just backed right into her. And now, to give full credit where credit is due, the lady who hit my mother's car, or my parents' car, my mother driving, got out and immediately said, "That was my fault."
Well, that's good. At least she owned
it. I didn't look over my shoulder. I was just looking at my backup camera.
How do you miss that anyway? But even so, at least she admitted it.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw it in the office where you drove into the river.
Turn now.
That's a GPS thing. Exactly. So that really drives me. That really grinds my gears because I had a couple of close calls leading up to Christmas with people who weren't paying attention to what they're doing because they're just looking in their camera. Well, there's nothing there. Do you merge that way too? Well, there's nothing in front of me, so I'm going to merge to the left.
Good luck, everybody else.
Oh, my God.
I think actually once my young son asked me, like, why are you turning around to look when you're backing out? You got the camera right in front of you. It's like, no, no, the camera's an aid.
Yes, you know,
it's not a replacement.
Yeah, it's not a substitute.
I do both. I do love the camera, actually, but I always check too because I'm terrified it will miss something. And
well, my,
it's just,
I don't have one, but
my car doesn't have one.
Yeah, but especially like your car because it's got the sensor system on it, I think, too, right?
Actually, no, it doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay.
But those are nice.
Whenever
too.
I get my next
car. That's, yes, it does. If someone's going across, it will beep at you.
Oh, okay.
If you're in reverse.
Because with that too, because if I'm reversing, I'll use that as my secondary.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'll still look around.
I always turn around because I have to back up.
Yeah, and then if like I'm not sure what not, the sensors will go off and that
shit. Yeah, well, why ask what you're wearing? Because sometimes, you know, at nighttime someone walks by in dark clothing or something. And
oh, no, yeah.
I don't even see them with my eyes. All of a sudden you're beep, beep, beep. You're like, oh, okay, someone's walking across the parking lot.
Oh, no, yeah. Very true.
But a lot of people just have the cameras now.
I know. It drives me in. I got into a conversation at this about at work recently. I said, well, quite frankly, because I had somebody advocating, you know, well, I have a camera in my car and I don't see why I should have to turn my head around anymore. I'm like, well, because you can't see side to side. Are you backing up in a straight line or are you backing up when you turn your steering wheel and you back up? Well, yes. I said, well, can you see that way? Well, no. I said, why don't you turn your head? Well, I mean, as I turn, the car will, like, I'll be able to see. Like, only once, you'll see what you just backed into is what you're going to do. Quite frankly, I'd like all automation on cars to be like automatic headlights, automatic.
I don't understand why headlights aren't automatic.
I know. It makes sense.
They make them come on automatically all the time, not just when it gets dark.
Yeah.
Right.
Because so many people, when their car dashboard is lit all the time.
Yeah, they won't turn their lights on because they don't realize.
They don't realize their lights
street on. Lights and everything around. And I'm like flashing my lights at them.
And they're driving a dark colored car and it's a night and you can't see them.
Or that when the headlights are on but the rear ones aren't?
Those are just daytime running lights.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. So I'd like headlights to be automatic all the time or automatic not at all. I want transmissions to be manual. And I know you guys drive automatics, but hear me out on this one. If you drive a manual, and you used to, you have to pay more attention to what you're doing. You can't zone out and look at your phone or look at this or look at that because you have to be paying more attention to what you're doing. You're more involved with it. And I think that would reduce the number of accidents on the road from driver inattention because you have to pay attention to what you're doing more.
Yeah. I see your point, and there's some truth to that, but there also could be some truth to that you're being distracted by everything else too. So
I'm just...
I made the switch from manual to automatic because, like, I'm just done with this. I don't need it anymore. But
I love it. I don't ever
like if you're doing like open road driving and for luck, if just for fun and stuff, it's great. But stop and go traffic and manual, I hate it.
I guess I'm just so used to it because I've been doing it for.
I just hate going.
I don't. I just leave it. I just leave myself.
Stop and go. Stop and go.
Well, that's where you leave a little bit of space and you can just continue.
I mean, idle forward. Real stop and go.
I admit I don't do that all that often.
I don't mean just slow traffic. Yes, you definitely, that's where you're paying attention. You're like, okay, they're stopped up here. I want to slow down now because I don't want to have to keep re-engaging the clutch and stuff. But
I guess I'm also just used to it. Even when I am in stop and go traffic, it doesn't, it's automatic. Yeah. I don't even think about it anymore.
Yep.
But that's just me. Got anything that grinds your gears?
I do.
Go for it.
Getting older.
Join the club. The line forms behind me.
The latest one is vision for me. So now I've now making. I don't have them yet. They're coming. I'll be in progressive transition or progressive lenses. So
really,
getting older sucks. You know, where you need different.
That's what I was supposed to do too. Right? Yeah.
You were.
I was, and then I just went, no, this is annoying with the reading glasses and the contacts. It was like on, off, on, off, on, off.
Well, see, that's what I'm doing now.
Client meetings and stuff is freaking
awesome. So what do you... So did you get progressive?
Instead, what I did is I went to Chinatown. I went, this is annoying. Forgo the 20/20. Make sure that I can see close.
So you have contact lenses for reading?
No, they're just the ones that I would use all the time. So it's not 20/20. So my far isn't as great.
Right.
But
that's actually what happens.
I can read my screens. I can see people... well enough.
Yeah.
Actually, I can see people quite well. So I can see you perfectly. Yeah, with my contact.
Okay.
So I don't have to keep flipping around with glasses and whatnot.
Okay.
And that was actually giving me headaches.
It's quite interesting.
I don't know if the prescription was right, but I went to two different people. And in Chinatown fixed all my problems.
Little Eastern medicine.
Ophthalmologist.
No, what he did is very valid because I've worn glasses. I'm nearsighted, so I've worn them to be able to see at a distance, like pretty much all my life. Now what's happening is I only notice it at the smartphone reading distance. It's like it's there. Now I take them off to read. So it's like the flip opposite of it's actually the exact same principle as putting on reading glasses to read. But what happens is I have a distance prescription of, say, like -5 or whatever the number is, right? And each eye is its own number. Mm-hmm. So what they do with the progressives are the reading glasses. If you go to the pharmacy, you notice they have like +1. So I need a +1 to read. So what I can do is I can take those reading glasses, my glasses right now, which are single vision. I can pull them up and like, oh, that's what it's going to be like. And it works.
Yeah.
So with the progressives, they're basically at the bottom. It's going to be -5 at the top, and it'll be -4. So
but your field of view changes now.
Yeah, so there's an adjustment.
You have to look at the top part of your glasses.
It's very, very gradual. Now, I'm only going like a +1 difference, so I'm like the perfect time to try it. I don't have this big swing, because then it is a big adjustment, right? But it'll be an adjustment for me. It'll be my grandma gears next time. Watch for it. But like what Pam was saying, though, it's the exact same thing. Is he's saying, I'm tired. I don't like putting stuff on and off, which I agree. So he's basically like, I'll sacrifice my distance a number so that I can read. It's the exact same principle.
Yeah.
Totally off hockey topic, but since you've mentioned all this, I've always wondered if you were.
What's it like to have bad vision?
No, wait till your 40s.
My vision is no longer as good as it used to be. I used to have 35/20. My vision was so good, I could read buses at like 4 blocks away.
Nice.
And I can't do that at all anymore.
Come on.
No, it's not nearly as good as it used to be. But it's actually very frustrating for me because of that. But
yeah.
If you wear progressive lenses,
they'll never
and if they're for,
they'll never give you a prescription for 35/40 either.
No,
I'll never be able to get back to that.
No, yeah.
Which is annoying. If you wear progressive lenses and you're driving, is your instrument panel going to be affected by the reading part, or do you just move your head down and use the regular part?
No, that's a good question, because I was asking all these kind of things too. When everyone thinks of bifocals, they think of the old one with the line across, and that's clearly like one's for reading, one's for distance. And the progressive is not just like 3-stage, it's like all kinds of different stages and whatever that swing is.
Okay.
So naturally, if you're looking forward, you know, you're doing more of your distance look. And if you're looking down, you don't even have to move your head. Like you're just going to see things.
It'll be through the lower part, but not
the lower. And mine's such a little swing that I probably won't have to do anything. Okay. But I guess if you had this really huge swing, like maybe you might. But it's just going to be a natural.
A little bit more. Actually, it'll probably look clearer than anything.
Okay. But, it was one of those things I've wondered about for ages. Just, well, what about, I mean, because my vision has always been good enough, I only ever move my eyes. I don't really move my head very much, except if I'm shoulder checking. I don't
You just move your eyes, I guess.
It's, okay. Fair enough.
That's
sorry.
The principle.
Totally.
Ask me next episode, I'll tell you. I mean, I don't have a good prescription to really get into that, but.
Oh, apparently, Torts has been on another rip. Of the referees, we'll have to get to that after the show. Anything grinds your gears?
I got another one.
Okay.
Painting stairs. So my basement stairs, had to repaint them.
Okay.
So we have a good listener who's works at a paint shop, and I won't name him, but he's been very helpful. And I've been kind of painting over the holidays, doing some things like that. And one of them was refreshing the paint on the stairs going down the basement. Man, that sucks.
The treads and the risers?
The treads and the risers, yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, the paint's beautiful. Like, no problem with the paint itself, but you're going down and it's white, right? So it's like every speck of dust or something as you're trying to go getting in the way. And then, of course, I have to trap myself in the basement for a couple hours before I can walk back up, and at least an hour and a half.
You didn't paint yourself upstairs?
No, because that's hard. No, that's hard.
That's actually harder on your back.
That's hard. It's easier to paint yourself down. I have enough stuff downstairs to entertain me, so that's fine.
Perfect.
Yeah, you plan it out and that sort of. But yeah, I don't enjoy that.
Dinner! Frig.
Throw it down.
Open the window. Bring it to me.
Yeah.
Do you have anything grinds your gears?
Not really.
Okay.
I'd say getting sick on holidays.
Week to come.
No kidding.
That sucks.
Let's get out of here. Week to come.
Last 2 days of my holidays, I was in bed.
Week to come.
Last game of
There's no more games this year. It's over.
No, there's one more. I'm just not.
Oh, there's only one more game this year?
Shout out to Alex for playing the top 20 hits of the last decade during the game. That was pretty good.
Do you know what the number one Billboard top hit of the last decade was?
I was surprised.
I was surprised, too. It's a popular song, but...
I would have no idea.
What was it again?
Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars.
That wouldn't surprise me at all, actually. Yeah.
But Despacito is like number 7. I figured that would be the Despacito. Oh, well.
It's Spanish one.
It's the Spanish one, yeah.
Okay. I would probably recognize it if I heard it. I don't know by name.
Yeah.
I was surprised. But anyway.
NHL. So tomorrow, December 30th. December. Yes, December 30th. Sens at Pittsburgh.
Sens at Pittsburgh.
Yep.
You should go down to that arena.
No, I got to work.
You got to work this week?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Good luck 30, with the commute
31st
tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. Granted, I don't think there's going to be many people going into work anyways, but I also have to go to, like, Curling, then to downtown, then to Westboro, then to Orleans.
I have to go to Russell.
Ew. That didn't make sense. Next.
I'm phrasing it very carefully today.
Thursday, then home against Panthers. And I think that's actually Lauren Fine's last game.
Oh, is she leaving?
Yeah. She's moving on to the league in Toronto. So good for her.
Oh, good for her.
She will be very much missed. And then Saturday.
Who's going to replace her?
Don't know.
They're looking for someone?
Don't know. Yeah.
Maybe
they'll get Brianna Jackson. The Bell Media Weekender.
Might actually.
Maybe.
No, she's no longer with the radio station. Oh, she's now working for. She left in August. I think she was.
Oh, but radio.
I think she was.
Great industry to be in.
I think she was workforce reduced when everybody else was, like Whitey. She's now working for the big banquet hall out on Colonnade Road. I can't think of what it's called. Centurion.
Oh.
Don't know that one.
Maybe Eugene will do it.
Might as well, he's doing everything else.
Stop it.
Saturday.
Every break.
Stop it.
Saturday. Wowie, wow, wow. Against Tampa here. Good luck. And, oh boy. And then Tuesday the 7th in Washington.
Ooh.
So we should go 0-4. But they'll probably go 0-0-4 or something like that.
Well, that's good for tank standing.
0-4 is?
Yes.
0-4 is.
Yeah.
Can't lose them all. That's right. Can't lose them all.
0-2, 1-1.
And then we're hoping to be back on the 8th.
We're hoping to be back on the 8th. Exactly.
Yep.
Anything else? Nope.
Nope.
Good. Let's get out of here. Podcast at sendscollege.com is the email address in case you want to send us anything. The forums are there. Game threads are there.
If you have any extra Christmas money left over.
Yeah, you haven't asked for any donations lately, have you? And you can always leave us a voicemail.
It's the last chance of the decade. Come on now.
Yeah. If you want to get it on this. Oh, no, we're not tax return. No, not charity. Never mind that. But you can still send it to us.
And then after that, when you get your charitable donations back, bring your tax credits, send that money to us too.
Sure. And you can also send us a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail on the waiver wire, sponsored by our friends at Versature, 1-844-SCU-SENS. On behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal. We all wish you a very happy, healthy, and joyous 2020. We should be back around the 8th of January. Thank you very much for listening. Good night.
Have a new year.
Ottawa Rising.